Good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it out here for our Wednesday night refueling. And I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land and out in the parking lot and listen to our 88.1 FM transmission. And we're just so glad you're here. We're going to start service off number 467. There'll be showers of blessings. Let's stand and sing. 467. Gets going here. I do have one announcement. The sewing bees will not be meeting tomorrow, but they'll be meeting next Thursday.
Glory.
So, not tomorrow, but next Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thursday week. Thank you, Brother Ken and Sister Nancy. Tonight we'll be in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Book of Proverbs, chapter 18. And I want to tell everybody thank you for the prayers. Hello, we got more coming in, praise the Lord. I want to thank everybody for the prayers last Wednesday. I had to go to Knoxville with Brother Bill with some concerns about his G-tube. It's a feeding tube that also allows you to eat as you're turning to Proverbs 18. But I started back on my shots this week, and either you eat right or it makes you eat right, and it kind of hit me. It's hit me before, but it's never hit me on the weekend, and it hit me, and it takes a few days to, if you've ever been what I call bear caught heat stroke, how it takes a few days to build back up after that, that's kind of the way that it's been. And I come back Sunday morning. I did come up here as you're turning to Proverbs 18, and I went into the office. I already had spoke with Brother Paul, and thanks to him and Brother Wayne and Brother Otis for filling in for me. And I came in and turned on the light, and there my chair was already filled. Somebody had took a scarecrow and set it in my seat, and I thought, well, it's pretty easy to fill a pastor's seat, ain't it? All you got to do is find a scarecrow, a few husks, and tie it all together. Nah, we do miss y'all when we're not here, and so thankful to be with you tonight. Do we? And those of you that's watching my Facebook, those of you that's watching, maybe listening outside, again, it's good to be with you tonight, and we don't take it, don't take it for granted that you've taken the time to let us be a part of your worship, and it's a privilege. Do we have any, and again, I've not said this in a while, so I'm going to say it, nobody loves you like Jesus, nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you let him, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And I also want to say, as you're turning to Proverbs 18, that I'm excited about the gears functioning again at Thomas Village Baptist Church. The DNA of Thomas Village Baptist Church, and one thing that drawed me to this church, is that the purpose, the power, and the plan is greater than one individual. That we as a body of Christ believe that God has given us a vision here on the four lane and at the crossroad, and that no man will stop it. And so for us to continue having that DNA, meaning not on the shoulders of the pastor or on the shoulders of the deacons, which we don't want it on our shoulders. We're here to serve, give counsel, and protect. But we've got to make sure that we keep the DNA of this church the same way. And for that to happen, that means that everybody that had positions before COVID need to come back and fill those positions afterward. You know what? None of us are as close to the Lord as we were. Most of us are not as close to the Lord as we were before. That's bottom line. But can I tell you this? His mercy and His grace is new every morning. And I don't care what you did. I don't care where you've been. I just want you back. And you know what? One of the reasons we're not as close is because we've not been able to use our spiritual gifts. Our spiritual gifts and our relationship with one another help hold us closer to our Creator and to one another. As you turn into Proverbs chapter 18, you know, when we're not serving God, when Christ is not number one in our life, then we're not the same people. We're not going to treat our spouses the same. We're not going to treat our children the same. We're not going to treat our co-workers the same. Why? Because we're about a different motive. And that motive is self. And so when we get back to functioning as a body, it's going to help us. When you get back to using your gifts, it's going to help you focus back on Christ, and it's going to help you be the person that He created you to be. Isn't that awesome? So yes, we need to be excited about the newness, whatever God has in store. Before we go to Proverbs chapter 18 tonight, we want to go into a time of prayer. But before we do that, do we have any words of praise and thanksgiving? Any words of praise and thanksgiving tonight? I thank God I feel better. I've had good intentions, but ain't had the energy to do them. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Do you know that January the 1st is going to make 5 years that I've been here? Don't that blow your mind? It blows my mind. But I promise you this, you ain't got two-thirds of the man physically as you had when I came here. Ain't no way. 5 years. It's mind-blowing, ain't it? I know what, I got a doctor graduating this year. And a son that's fixing to be 6'5". That rascal's growing like a weed. I got to brag on them. They're helping at other VBSs tonight. Churches that I ain't even ever been to. That makes me proud of my children. Makes me proud. Anyone else tonight? It's good to see you, girl. Hey, I know the feel. You and I know that feeling. You and I know that feeling.
Yeah, and I'm excited, too, that little COVID.
Amen. Amen, we do. God willing, before long, we're going to try to get some outreach going, not meaning that we're going to go in the houses, but we've got some I know it's been 5 years since there's been a canvas over here because we haven't canvassed it since I've been here. And can you imagine the turnover? There's a lot of turnover in the village, and we'll catch them. And now we've got new stuff. We've got the app. Well, what's them QR codes or them black and white boxes? Praise God, we're going to get one where if they zoom in on that, it'll take them straight to the prayer needs. Isn't that awesome? I mean, we're living in a time of amazement and that there's so much at our reach for ministry. And I think God is using the COVID to help bring it out to us. I'm a / redneck hillbilly, and it's teaching us. So. Does anyone tonight want a study guide? Well, I have our study guides up here. If you want one, just raise your hand. I try not to make too many, but Brother Kim will try to get you the study guide. Y'all know this routine by now. Huh? Everybody got one? All right. Praise the Lord. Any words of praise before we go to our prayer needs? We do want to remember the lost, number one. There's no greater need in any individual's life than for eternal security. And again, I go to the point that God placed within us a desire to live on after this body, just like he gave us the desire and a need for air, water, food, and all that. And before he put Adam and Eve here, he made sure the need was met. And he did the same with our eternal soul, as the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, our Savior was determined. And so we want to remember that. The backslidden, I think COVID has shown us just how easy it is not to go out and live a heathen lifestyle, but just to put self on the throne of our hearts. And you wake up one morning and get there. We want to pray for our nation. We do want to pray for marriages. Right now we're in the works of trying to get a marriage retreat or a marriage weekend prepared here. I believe the Lord's given me a vision for a Friday night, Saturday to about midday, one or two, with three sessions, two of them being with your significant other, one being separated. And it doesn't have to be just for married people. I mean, dating people, you know, things like that. But we need, the devil is wreaking havoc in our country, and it began in the home, tearing up the home. And so we need to look for the home. Also, the depressed. There's a lot of people that suffer in silence with bipolar, social anxiety disorder, all different things. We want to pray for Larry Tomlinson, Donna Brown, Eunice Roberts, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Lorraine Davis, Brandon Johnson, Bill Leeds. Praise report, he's doing better than he has in probably a year. God has answered prayers there, and thank you for the prayers. He was going to come Sunday had I been here, but I didn't come, and he didn't. Also, we want to pray, Mama Cope, this is Amy's grandma. She asked for us to pray for David Jackson, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe. This is Brother Wayne's daddy. Got some special needs there. We want to be praying for him. Sister Catherine Ward, Gary and Brandy C.C., Brian Baker and his family. He's not forsaken us. Him and Sister Melanie haven't forsaken us. He's doing a different job driving a truck right now. So be praying for them and little Matthew. Margaret Rogers, Jesse Bull and Pam Savarsky. Miss Bull is home. Someone stopped by to see her, but she was out and about. Praise God. Stanley Williams and Sandy. Brittany Grindstaff, Jason Knight, Sister Melanie Lester. Phyllis Williams, Edsel Kick, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Margaret and Chet Wheeler, Deborah Horton, Kevin Tigner, Sheila Percival, Heather Markham, Randy Flansler, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Susie Drawdery, Maggie Statzer, Teresa Holden, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger Evans, John Wade, Daryl Hurd, Cindy Osborne, Shannon Haynes, Laura Opal and Grayson Evans, JT and Gladys Stones, Billy Joe and Sandra Robbins, Rhea Osborne, Justin Bowen, Mary Bunez, Wilma Jacobs, Doris Williams and family, Sister Lillian Baldwin and family. And there was a specific need I answered in the last deacon's meeting, somebody specific in her family, but God knows who it is. I lost the paper. Priscilla Smith, Ethan Bowen, Paul Storier and Thomas, Susie Hill, Carol Carter, Alicia Hill, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Sandy Knight, Daniel Jordan, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Robbie Jordan, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Mr. Pippin, Sabrina and Lance Stollard, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma, Haley Webb, Brother Sean and Sister Dawn, Carol, Greg, Darlene, Rhonda, Jalen and Scott, Linda, Jerry, David, Nicholas, Wilma and Don Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Celia and Frank Pennington, Jay and Ruby Keck, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Ricky Sheffield, the first responders and fire, our members with unseen and unspoken, unseen hurts, unspoken needs, and then, praise the Lord, 500 for shoeboxes. That's still what we're claiming there. So do we have any other names that we need to remember? Anyone? Okay, we will, sister. Anyone else? I want to remind you that the altar's open, and I think that as Brother Otis comes to lead us in our opening prayer tonight, I want you to think about this, and I'm praying about it as a sermon this Sunday morning. What is the biblical response, the correct biblical response to answered prayers? What is the correct biblical response to answered prayer? And are we biblical in the way that we respond to answered prayers? Are we biblically doing what we see others do when God answered their prayers? It's a pretty good thought, isn't it? Make you think. Praise God, he's answered a lot for me. Brother Otis, if you would. The altar is open.
Let us pray. Father God, we come thanking you for this day and giving us the beautiful day you have. And Lord, for the rain you've seen in the past. And we just pray, Lord, for those that are living in fear in the western states with the wildfires, and we're seeing here, Lord, even some of the results. The smoke is even reaching here, and it just shows how far out smoke can go. But we know how far out you can go. You have no limitations. You're everywhere, all-knowing, all-powerful. And you know more about us than we know about ourselves. You know what we'll be doing tomorrow and what we'll be doing 10 years from now. And we have no idea. We live from day to day with your grace and your mercies, and we thank you for it. We ask you to forgive us of our sins where we fell short and we fall every day. And the writer of most, half of the New Testament said, I sin daily. Paul admitted that he sins daily. He falls short every day. And as the pastor said, every day we have to get up and start over. It's a new day the Lord has given us, and we thank you for that. But we just ask you to continue to bind our church family together, Lord, and return those, Lord, that are able to be back. And we just thank you so much for the efforts they've made so far, and we just ask you to continue to bind us together. Not in controversy, not in trying to whip somebody back into church, but out of love. Your love is great and beyond our imagination. And we need to love others. You tell us that in your word. Not ourselves, but other people. And we just thank you so much for our church family. We thank you for those here tonight. We ask you to bless those who can't be here. We ask you to bless those that have had surgeries, those that have had sickness in their families this week. Lord, there's many that we don't even know about. We just heard about some, but you know about them. We don't have to tell you anything, but you tell us to bring all things to you in prayers and supplications, and that's what we're doing. We're supplanting our needs to you and our thanksgiving for what you have done. As the pastor said, we ask for prayer, but when we get it answered, what do we do with it? Do we grow from it, or do we go back and ask for more? We know, Lord, you're a giving, forgiving God, but we keep asking. And many times we forget to thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for giving us a son. Thank you for loving us through another day. Thank you for giving us a time to get back into church and getting us through this COVID outbreak, and that we can return back to some normalcy, Lord, and be able to come and worship you and do the duties of our ministries in our church, and those that have responsibility and have taken responsibility, that you'll just encourage him with your Holy Spirit with us as well. And we just thank you so much for this day and for the prayer requests that the pastor has read to us. Many lost, don't know you as Savior. Some don't care when you ask them. They don't believe what you tell them. They believe it's a fairy tale, or they're from another planet, been sent here to earth for an experiment. All sorts of ideas people have. But God, you sure don't teach that to us in your word. You teach us one God, one Son, one Spirit. And Father, we just thank you for loving us this day. Thank you for our pastor and for returning him back to us. For Brother Ken being able to come back to us. We pray for the illnesses he's facing in his family. Some grave illnesses. But we just ask you to be with those families, with ours as well. And thank you, Lord, for loving us again another day. And give us tomorrow, if it be your will. And we'll give you praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Otis. In the way of announcements, we do have Sunday morning, our Sunday school right now. We're trying to begin it at 9:45. And we have classes for everybody. We may not have as many as we did, but we can get you in somewhere. And there's something special about small group. That's where you're able to mend with one another, tie to one another, and get to know each other better. Also, regular service. Sunday morning after service, I'm asking that if you were on the last nominating committee, meaning back in 2019, 2020, I'm asking if you would just meet with me for about 10 minutes, five, not more than 10 minutes after Sunday morning, as we are trying to make sure the new Sunday school, the new church year starts in September, and so we have time to make sure we know who we have, who we don't have, and to be able to all that, and to keep this church as the body of Christ, and to keep it functioning in the way. And then also, don't forget August the 7th, that is our VBS, and so we need to be pushing that, you know, putting that out there. All right, well, let's go to Proverbs chapter 18, only 24 verses tonight, and we'll read through it, and those of you that's been with us in this study, you know the gig, and so we'll jump on into it. Proverbs 18, verse 1, one who isolates themselves pursues selfish desires. They rebel against all sound wisdom. A fool does not delight in understanding, but only wants to show off their opinions. When the wicked person comes, contempt along with dishonor and derision. The words of a person's mouth are as deep waters, flowing rivers or fountains of wisdom. It is not good to show partiality to the guilty, denying the innocent judgment. A fool's lips leads to strife, and their mouths provoke a beating. A fool's mouth is their devastation, and their lips are traps for their very life. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down into one's innermost being. The one who is lazy in their work is brother to a vandal. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are protected. the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, and in their imagination, it is like a high wall. Before their downfall, a person's heart is proud or uplifted, but humility must come before honor. The person that gives an answer before listening, this is foolishness and a disgrace to that person. A person's spirit can endure sickness, but who can survive a broken spirit? The mind of the discerning acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seek it. A person's gift opens the door for them and brings them before the great. The first to state their case seems right until another comes and cross-examines them. Casting lots ends the quarrels and separates powerful opponents. An offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city, and quarrels are like bars on a fortress. From the fruit of a person's mouth is their stomach satisfied. They are filled with the product of their lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat the fruit. A man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor person pleads while the rich person answers roughly. One with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. And may God add the blessings to the reading. As we're steadily moving through Proverbs, meaning that we're looking at wisdom, insight, and yes, godly common sense. Godly common sense. We've lost common sense, not only in America, but I think around the world. Common sense is a thing of history classes anymore. But, you know, in fact, not only are we moving through Proverbs steadily, we're actually on the downhill side. We're on 18, there's 31, so we're getting closer and closer, and maybe we'll pick up steam. But the ninth scripture, Proverbs 18, has a total of 24 verses. And you remember our definition for a proverb as we're looking at Solomon's writings here, it is a concise, to-the-point style brief statement that imparts general advice and wisdom. And there's a total of 24 verses, and of those 24 verses here in Proverbs 18, 17 of them are the bullet-type proverbs, meaning that it's only going to be one verse. But now there are three passages in chapter 18 that tie together, or that it takes more than one verse to present the truth, to lay out the wisdom. And that is verses 10 through 11, and then also verses 20 through 21. Now, verses 6 through 8 and 10 through 11, those come from John MacArthur. He's better. But then the last one, verses 20 and 21, I think that they needed to be put together. And in fact, if I was Solomon writing them, I'd have probably inverted them and put 21 for 20 and 20 for 21. But we'll look at that in a little bit. So, and as most of you know, when we started this study, Proverbs was broken down into three categories of wisdom: general wisdom, leadership wisdom, and parental or family style leadership. So let's get to it, all right? One who isolates themselves pursues selfish desires. They rebel against all sound wisdom. And folks, I think that coming out of the season of COVID-19, we can understand that better, because we didn't start out this thing by making ourselves number one, by putting ourselves on the throne. But basically, the way that we were asked to isolate, we were asked to distance ourselves, we ended up basically distancing ourselves almost from everybody except for online and things like that. And gradually, we became the object of our own self-importance. And so we started living our lives for ourselves. And then we pursue selfish desire. Once, and you think about this, our bodies love when they're number one, and when we can make them feel good, when we can do what makes our mind feel good, our body feel good, and all that. And the more that happens, the more that we please our flesh, what happens? The more we want to please our flesh. And for 14 to 16 months, that's about been what we've been doing, is pleading our case or pursuing our own desires. We've not had the obligation to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Some didn't have the obligation to get up in the morning, wash their hair, and change out of their pajama breeches to go to work. I mean, that was just, everything was about self. And then you get to the point to where you don't want to hear what other people have to say. We won't watch CNN. We won't watch MSNBC. We won't listen to anything else but an echo chamber of what we already have heard and what we believe. And so what the truth is, and you know it, and we see it, a lot of people, there is jobs everywhere right now. But so many people have been stimulated to stay at home. And why aren't they working? Because they're seeking self. They're making self satisfied. Notice it goes on to say, and I love the King James here, because in Proverbs 14:14 it says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with their own ways. Some people interpret this to mean that they will, what goes around comes around. You know what I mean? But now I kind of interpret it out of the King James here, is that a backslider, when we've fallen away from the Lord, we pursue self. That's what we want. We're pursuing what we want, and we'll be filled with what we want. But notice what it says. It says a good man, a.k.a. a godly man. You remember we preached in the sermon that America was founded by good men. And they were only good men because they were godly men. And we live in, it's about character. America no longer is a godly nation because it does not have good people anymore. It doesn't have godly people anymore. It has self-centered people, and everybody's about, they're all pursuing, we're all pursuing our own desires. And so we've got to make up our mind that Jesus is going to be first in my life. I'm not going to pursue what I want. I'm going to pursue what He wants. And in doing that, what does it say? We shall be satisfied from Himself or outside of Himself. You remember when Jesus said that He must go through Samaria, and the apostles came back and with food, and He looked at them, and what did He say? I eat of what ye know not of. He found satisfaction, not in His own fleshliness, but He found it in serving the Lord by serving others. Amen? So would you say that this is general, leadership, or parental? Amen. Amen. It's general. Any thoughts on this one? A fool does not delight in understanding. Understanding is insight, you know, true knowledge. And again, I add, you cannot have true knowledge and wisdom without having a relationship with Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ, our Creator, ties it all together. It all comes together with Him. But it says, fools do not delight in understanding. There's a lot of scientists today that all they'll tell you about creation is evolution and the Big Bang. They don't allow for God. You see, they don't pursue understanding. They've already got their mind set, and it can be any other thing except God, a higher being, a higher creator. And note it says, they only want to show off their opinions. Don't that remind you of the talking heads between 8 and 10 on the news programs? You can't understand what in the heck they're saying. They're talking over each other and fussing and all that, but they sure like to hear themselves talk. I'd say y'all think that about me sometimes, don't you? All right, which one do you think this is? General. When the wicked person comes, meaning one that is not in their way with God, they're not a good person, they're not a godly person, they're that person that is pursuing their own desires, okay? And you know what? Many a good churchgoer is this person. You know that? Just because you go to church doesn't make you a godly person, nor does it make you a good person as much as sitting in a garage makes you a car. Notice what it says. When the wicked person comes, what comes? Contempt, meaning that there's a lack of respect. Not only is there a lack of respect from that person for the individuals around him, But first of all, most importantly, there's a lack of respect towards their Creator, because the Bible teaches us that when we do not respect our brother and sister, whether they be rich or poor, we mock our Creator. So it goes on to say that also along with this comes dishonor, meaning that everything about this person, even when they try to do good, just like us apart from Christ, all of it is tainted with our sinfulness. I mean, you think about all these rockets we've sent into outer space and how far they're going. You know what? It's tainted with man's sin. But you know what God's going to do? All of the cosmos is going to be consumed by a purifying fire when it's the right time. And then notice what else it says. It says that they, and derision, mean that there'll be shameful insults. And you know what? It's sad to say, but that does happen in churches, openly and blatantly, to cause division and to do it. And it's closer than we might think. But what? And see, this is where the deacon's role has to come in. Sometimes the complaining might be accurate, but it's not to be publicly heralded to try to cause division and problems. It needs to be handled one-on-one. So would you say that this is general, leadership, or family? I think you can put them under both general and then leadership. Any thoughts on that? Verse 4 here, I think, is kind of a hopeful tone where it says, the words of a person's mouth are deep waters, flowing rivers, or fountains of wisdom. Now, we hope that our truth is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me is a clever saying, and it helps cover up the tears sometimes, but it's not accurate. Words do hurt. Just like water is deep and can bring life, but it can also take your life by drowning in them. That's the way that words are. And prayerfully, we're going to see here later on, prayerfully, our words are fountains of wisdom. I pray that they are living waters as we give them out, but they can also be torrential downpours and devastating floods. And we have to be mindful of this. Any thoughts?
I wonder why it doesn't say, and not just man. And this doesn't say,
man. It doesn't. And I'm hoping later on, around verses 20 and 21, it's going to deal with them again. But I think this is just one, the picture of a righteous person. You know what I mean? It doesn't use the verb to describe, but I'm like you. I don't understand that part of it. That's why I said that I think it's wishful thinking at least. But I do believe he's talking to a wise individual, you know, and wants them to use their words properly, you know. Anyone else? Which one, general, family, or leadership? I'd go with general. Verse 5, it is not good to show partiality, meaning we are not to favor people that are guilty, flat out. Denying the innocent one justice, meaning that, just as we see today, many times we see the guilty get a lesser charge or something like that too. And you know, once the crime, say it's a murder, once the murder's already been done, there's no making up for that. But it does help the family to have, if this word is any good, closure. At least they know that the one that done them wrong is not benefiting after the fact. Look right here. In Leviticus 19, not only is it not good for us to show partiality and judge justice, it's also against God's moral law. Remember, in the Old Testament, we have the moral law. We have the Levitical law, which the priests and all that, when we see the way they dressed, the way they washed, the way they did the sacrifices. And then there was the national law, because they were a nation as well. And lots of times when people disagree with you, they try to throw out all the law at you at one. But no, we don't live by the Levitical law anymore, and we don't live by the law of Israel. But we do still live by the moral law. Do you know that they were a whole lot more than Ten Commandments? Whole lot more. But the Ten are the moral law. And in it we see the way to interact with others. And we see the way to interact with our Creator. And then Jesus broke it down even better. In the two, love the Lord thy God with everything you are. And love your neighbor as yourself. So would you say that this is general, leadership, or parental? Okay, I'm going to disagree with you there. I think it goes to leadership first because justice. I think that would be a governor. I do believe you can put it under general. Don't get me wrong. And I'm fine with you. I'd give you a check mark on your paper if you handed it in. But I would begin at leadership and then down to general. Any thoughts? Do y'all like these studies? You ain't got to lie to me. Just keep your mouth shut. Okay, I get it. All right, now we come to our first passage. Fools and their lips. Fools and their lips. And remember, it was the wicked person that... my mama just texted me wanting to know if I got my vaccine yet. The wicked person is the one that's not in the way with God. We're not saying that they're lost. We're not saying that they can't be saved. We're just saying that in the moment they're not in the way with the Lord. And a person that's not right with the Lord, that's the most foolish thing you can do. Amen? And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So it says, a fool's lips. This is what a fool's lips will do. First, they lead to strife, meaning quarrels, bickering. Back and to. And you know what? That's one of the devil's greatest plans, especially in churches. Because lots of times an outward force coming into a church, what do? We'll back up, put our backs together, and we'll fight. Whatever's coming against us from the outside, we're good to go. We'll fight against it. It's kind of like your family. Nobody picks on your family but you. That's right. My brothers could hang me from trees and all that stuff, but nobody else could. But what the devil will do is he'll get someone within and get the bickering started. And notice what it does. It says it leads to quarrels. Don't you wish? And their mouths provoke a beating. Y'all reckon we should have National Church Whipping Day? Jim Jones went crazy doing that stuff. You remember Jim Jones? He would call people to the front and spank them in his church. But he ended up in Iguana, whatever it was. But notice it says, a fool's mouth is their devastation. Mean that ultimately, if he continues to be foolish and to use his lips in a foolish way or her lips in a foolish way, it says that they are traps for their very life. The picture almost is like that there's... Have you ever seen a pit where that's dug out and in the bottom of it are spikes? And you fall on it and it stabs you? That's kind of the way that the words of a fool are. That they along their way and one day they're going to step on the wrong thing and just plunge down into the trap. Some of you looked up at me then. But that they'll fall into it. Notice, but listen at this. A gossip's words. Now, this is not the way it is to a gossip. This is, again, how the hearer, we who allow it to go on, instead of saying, I don't want to hear it, you don't have no grounds for that. Look what it says. It says that a gossip's words are like choice or the finest of foods. Man, when you go into Gate City, on the right, you know where they sell the fruit and all that? Stop and get you some of those peaches. Buddy boy, when you bite into that peach, it just runs all down your mouth right there. And when you back up off of it, you have to do like that because the juice is so good on that thing. And then it's just sweet in your mouth and runs out. Don't you want to go get a peach right now and eat a peach? That's the way the words of a gossip are. Tasty all the way down. And goes to the deepest part of your guts. And you know what? It affects you. Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of the mouth of a wise man are gracious, but the lips of a fool will consume them or swallow them up. So which one do you think this, any thoughts on this? Let me shut up and go get a peach, don't you? I think them's Freestone peaches because they don't stick to the seed. They are. Don't you hate a hard one? Which one do you think this is? General, leadership, or parental? General. The lazy, the one who is lazy in their work is brother to a vandal. Now, a vandal is someone that willingly or ignorantly destroys other people's property. I can't help but think about people who tag those trains and stuff like that. You know, some of the artwork is beautiful. It is, but it ain't their property. They ain't got no right to be doing it. And you know what? In the Lord's house, you may have some feelings and you may have some thoughts on an emotional level, but if you can't stand on it by the word of God, then you don't need to be messing with the Lord's property. Anyone on thoughts on that one? General, leadership, or parental? General, amen. Verses 10. Now this is the protection that we have. Our protection, I meant to put that on here, but our protection. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are protected. King James says, and are saved. And I like that word because it means I have been saved, I will be saved, and I am being saved as I run into the Lord. But it goes on to show the opposite. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city. In their imagination, it's like a high wall. Basically, a rich person thinks that there's nothing that can overcome their wealth, no matter what it is. And remember, even a few Sundays ago, I told you that they're trying to figure out how to live forever. They're doing studies and tests. They think it's all in the cell. If you just figure out the right combination, then we'll be able to live forever. I'm sorry, only one has that combination. Which one you think this one is? General, amen. Praise God. If 50% of the world took this as truth, how much different would our planet be right now? Verse 12, before their downfall, a person's heart is filled with pride. You remember we talked about the threshold or the door of a house. The higher you build it, the further there is to fall. And the same is true with us. The more that we build our own selves up, the more that we pursue our own fleshly desires, we raise ourselves and raise ourselves, and sooner or later something's going to have to fall. But on the reverse side of it, on the opposite side, if we want honor, then we first have to humble ourselves, place ourselves under the authority of the Lord, and that may mean placing ourselves under the authority in service-wise to other men and women that are there. That's not fun. It's not fun to serve. There's a fulfillment in it, and at times it brings enjoyment. But a life of servitude, nobody really volunteers for that. We have to be compelled by the Spirit. Any thoughts there? General, leadership, or parental? Amen. The person that gives an answer before listening, this is foolishness and a disgrace to them. I think that goes without having to say much more. If you ain't heard the situation, you in no way need to open your mouth about it. If you don't know what's going on in behind the scenes, you ought not open your mouth about it. Because you don't have the proper information to make an accurate conclusion. What do you think this one is? General. Amen. A person's spirit, verse 14. And when we talk about the spirit, I put the emotional self, but you know there's a part of us, that grit that's inside of you, that who you are as an individual, that emotional you. It can endure sickness. I remember being in the hospital. I didn't feel worth a toot. But I told Frank I'd be back in 2 weeks. Why is that? Because the spirit in me was thankful to be alive, and I'm like, heck yeah, I'll get out and do. But notice what it says, when the spirit is broken. I've seen this happen. Person goes into the doctor's office, not feeling well, and the doctor looks at them and tells them, you've got stage 4 cancer. And the outlook is not good. A lot of people at that point don't hear anything else the doctor says because you've gone into shock right then. But then when you get home, that oomph, that fight inside of you, the doctors doesn't mean to rob you of your hope. They don't mean to rob you of your will to live. But they're just trying to give you an accurate thing. But at lots of times, that's why we've got to remember we have the great physician. And praise God, he has the final say. The Bible says that laughter is good for our spirit. It's like a medicine. You know what else is good? The people of God around you. Not just patting you on the back and telling you everything's going to be all right. No, just that spirit flowing from breast unto breast, fellowshipping with one another, having that camaraderie. And I'm going to tell you this, Thomas Village, you're closer to me than my own flesh and blood. You're my family. So which one would you think that this one is, general, leadership, or family? General. That's it. I'm using a pink pencil today. I'm secure in my masculinity. The mind. Now notice, we jump from verse 14 where we're talking about our emotional self, right? Then when 15, we jump to our intellectual being, our intellectual self. The mind of the discerning, remember the discerning one who is one that has insight and some understanding. Well then what do those who have insight and understanding want? More insight and understanding. And then it says, and the ear of the wise seek it out. So wise men and women try to find more wisdom. And so would this be general, leadership, or parental? Golly, time's going by. All right, now, we've talked about bribes before. We've talked about how they're like a magic wand that makes everything turn good to the one that puts it out and different things. Now look at this one. It says a person's gift opens the door and brings them before the great. Now this would not be the idea of a bride, but how many of you remember when you did housewarmings? When the neighbor moved in, you cooked a pie and you went over there and said, hey, I got a pie. You want it? And what will they usually do? Well, they have to open the door one, but they'll say, come on in, let's have a cup of coffee, have a piece, and talk. Right? What got you in the door? The apple pie. The gift. And that's the same idea here. So, which one would you think this one was? General. Amen. The first to state their case seems right. Man, this always gets me on my murder programs. You know, because they'll come lay it all out and why the person's guilty and all that. And I'm like, yep, they did it. They did it. 25 minutes into the program, they should be electrocuted right then. And then what do they do? Oh, they go and start telling you another side of it. And that's the way it is with the story. That's the way it is on news programs. You know, you hear one, yeah, that's good, amen. And then the other one starts something, well, that's pretty good too. Which one y'all think this one is? General, amen. Casting lots. The closest thing, I mean, I could go through a big thing and tell you what casting lots was. They put the chicken bones and toss it out there and all that. Basically, it's a game of chance, and really it could be like flipping a quarter. You know, best 2 out of 3, we're going to do what you want to do. And notice what it says. It said it ends quarrels because you already have on a agreed upon outcome. Whatever happens, it's either going to be my way or your way, and we're going to let it happen by chance, whatever chance throws. But notice what it does. It says that it keeps opponents, powerful opponents, away from each other. You remember when David stood before Goliath? The whole idea there was to keep from having the two armies come together and fight and have a lot of loss. They were going to put their two best men, whoever wins, that's the way the cookies crumble. But a better way to do it would be to flip a quarter, you know, draw straws, things like that. And so basically the idea here is that, yeah, there may be some unknowns about it, but in the end, it lots of times is beneficial to allow it to happen that way. So would you say that this is general leadership or parental? Yeah. This one, we're just going to go through it, and at the end of it, tell me if it's general leadership or wisdom. An offended brother is harder to reach than a fortified city. One that's got walls and guns and all that around it, and quarrels are like bars on a fortress. If you can stop the quarrels, then the bars are gone. And then you might be able to get into the city and talk to that brother in a spiritual sense. So which one do you believe? Ma'am? It could be, yeah, yeah, because of brother. Yeah, amen. Good looking out, sister. All right, our lips and our lives. This is the one that I would invert. I'd put verse 21 for 20. From the fruit of a person's mouth is their stomach satisfied. They are filled with the product of their lips. Now see, I'd have put this verse first though. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it will eat its fruits. Those that understand that what you say, we have the authority as a created being from the one who created all things with his mouth, we can speak blessings and benefits. But the fruit of our mouth is going to fill our stomach one way or another, the product that comes out of it. Speak blessings over your church. Speak blessings over your spouse. Speak blessings over your children. My relationship with my father and with my brothers completely changed the day that he called us to the front pew, apologized for not doing it more, and he prayed blessings over each one of us. And God has been faithful to, I'm telling you this, if you don't believe it, my daddy's got a book that he's wrote things that he believes God's told him. And he'll go back and show you the date that they were filled. And I'm talking about going back years. Lord told him I was going to be on the radio. I mean, this has been 12 years ago. And then 2 or 3 years later, I was on the radio over on Sugar Run. And he's got it wrote down in his little prayer journal right there. Randall Gunner, pray for you. You better lock it up, buddy. You just give in. Listen what Matthew says, though. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. That brings me peace right now with some of the conversations I had today. Just some situations that's going around. For by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned. Thank God I've prayed and I've announced I surrender all. I love my master, I love my wife, and I will not go free. So which one you think this one is? General. All right. This is a perfect one to end on, ain't it, ladies? A man who finds a wife finds a good thing. I think we ought to get all the wives in the church a shirt that on the back just simply says, good thing. TVBC, good thing. Don't you think that'll work? I think we make money, brothers, don't you? And because they'll elbow her husband and say, you better. She can't have a good thing if I ain't a good thing. That's just, it ain't happening. Look at Proverbs 12:4. A capable wife, maybe we ought to just put capable. Instead of good thing, put capable on the back. TVBC, capable. A capable wife is her husband's crown, but a wife who causes shame is like rottenness to the bones. Any spouse that's not living for the Lord, but is pursuing selfish pursuits, selfish things, is as a cancer to a marriage. That's Scripture. I mean, you could take wife away and put husband there, no problem. All right, any thoughts tonight? It's been good to be with you tonight. Just goes by so fast. Any words of praise or testimony before we close? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, it's been a good night to be in your house. It's been a good time to be with your people, and I thank you for the wisdom in your word. I thank you for the encouragement in your word and the laughter that we can find in your word. And Lord, now as we go our separate ways, Lord, you know that we all have our issues, we all have our valleys. And Heavenly Father, Lord, praise God, in the valley you're still more than enough. And so, God, as we go, we just praise you. We're excited about the future of Thomas Village. We're excited about the future of our individual membership. And God, we believe that our best days are ahead. And thank you that on this earth is the only hell we'll ever have to experience. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. I love all you.